This is Brother Hansen from Truth and Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to continue our study in the book of Jeremiah. Now, we are at the 39th chapter, if you'd like to read along. 39th chapter. And this is when Jerusalem was captured in the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah. In the 10th month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came to Jerusalem and laid siege to it. In the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, in the ninth day of the month, the city wall was breached. Now, these things were predicted by Jeremiah. Zedekiah, son of Josiah, and the last king of Judah, ruled 11 years from 597 to 586 BC. Zedekiah's two elder brothers, Jehoahaz and Jehoiakim, and his nephew Jehoiachin ruled before him. When Jehoiachin was exiled to Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar made a 21-year-old Mattaniah the king, changing his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, and who captured him, actually, and killed his sons in front of him, and then blinded him and took him back to Babylon, where he later died. And that's in 2 Kings 24:25, 2 Chronicles 36, and Jeremiah 52. Ribla was 200 miles north of Jerusalem. And that's in this fifth verse. We're talking Zedekiah in the fourth month of the ninth day. Then all the officials of the king of Babylon came in and sat down at the middle gate, Nergal, Zarezar, Samgar, Nebu, Sarsakim, the Rabsaris, Nargal, the Ramag, and all the rest of the officials of the king of Babylon. When Zedekiah the king was of Judah and all of the men of war saw them, they fled and went out of the city at night by way of the king's garden through the gate between the two walls, and he went out toward Arabah. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and they seized him. They went after him. They wouldn't let him go. And brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, at Riblah, in the land of Hamath. And he passed sentence on him. Then the king of Babylon slew his sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. Right in front of him, he killed him, his sons. And that's a horrible thing. That's how ruthless these people really were. Killed his sons right in front of him, the king of Babylon. He also slew all the nobles of Judah. He then blinded Zedekiah's eyes and bound him in fetters of bronze to bring him to Babylon. The Chaldeans also burned with fire the king's palace and all the houses of the people. And they broke down the walls of Jerusalem. As for the rest of the people who were left in the city, the deserters who had gone over to him and the rest of the people who remained, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, carried them into exile into Babylon. You know, God told them if they don't submit to Nebuchadnezzar, they were going to die a miserable death. And here you see it. Those that did not submit to Nebuchadnezzar, for example, this Zedekiah, the king, the king of Babylon slew his sons right before his eyes at Riblah. The king of Babylon also slew the nobles of Judah. He blinded Zedekiah's eyes and bound him in fetters of bronze and brought him to Babylon. What? You know, he eventually went, maybe not voluntarily, but he actually had to go into Babylon and submit to Babylon. And this is a horrible thing when you think about it. The things that happened to these people, it wasn't something that is nice and pretty. It really was a bad thing. So it was something that you shouldn't have to go through, just because. But God had made a promise that this was going to happen if they didn't submit. So this is something that they had brought on themselves. And that's what a horrible, horrifying thing to bring upon yourself. And let's continue reading. But some of the poorest people who had nothing, they almost look alike, these Zebuchadnezzar and Zebuzaradan, if you have eyes like mine. Now, some of the poorest people had nothing. Zebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, left behind in the land of Judah and gave them vineyards and fields at that time. In the Babylon had a shrewd foreign policy toward conquered lands. They deported the rich and the powerful, leaving only the very poor in charge, thus making them grateful to their conquerors. This policy assured that conquered populations would be too loyal and too weak to revolt. So there was some wisdom used in this thinking, in this particular type of thinking. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave orders about Jeremiah, the prophet, through Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, saying, "Take him and look after him. Do nothing harmful to him, but rather deal with him just as he tells you." Now, this is something else. Do just as he tells you. Now, how in the world can you get away with that? Do just what he tells you. That is something when you have the actual benefit of your own fate. Do what he tells you. Do what he tells you to do. And that is something that I guess that God had something to do with it ultimately, because the do what he tells you, he wants you to do to him. And so Zebuzaradan, captain of the bodyguard, sent word along with Zebushaban. Oh boy, some of these pronunciations on these, and next impossible. Along with Nebushazban and the Rabsaris and the Nergal-Sarizar, the Rabmag, and all of the leading officers of the king of Babylon. They even sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the guardhouse and entrusted him to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, to take him home. So he staved among the people. Now, The word of the Lord had come to Jeremiah while he was confined in the court of the guardhouse, saying, "Go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am about to bring my words on this city for disaster and not for prosperity.'" There you go. There's your prosperity message that they were trying to tell everybody. They had prosperity on the mind also back then. Everybody wanted to hear a prosperity message, so they were paying these false prophets to give them a good message. So this is what happens when you want these false prophets to give you a lie. They ultimately take you down a road that will kill you. And if you keep walking down that same road, it's going to get ugly. And it gets uglier every day because you keep the... I'm telling you what, I know some people that are so loyal and so stuck and so dedicated to supporting some of these false YouTube prophets that I just can't believe it. It boggles my mind because these people have been in the church for 40 years, as long as you can remember, and they're stuck in the mud supporting false prophets and false those that have got it wrong several times, but yet they keep supporting them, and it just boggles my mind how they can continue doing so. But who knows? There's nothing you can do, really. Actually nothing, because it just gets that much more serious. When you do these things to follow a false prophet for nothing, it goes so far that you can't imagine. And I don't know, but I guess that this is what God means when he says, "I'll send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie." And evidently, this is what this is all about, strong delusion, so that they would believe this lie. And it keeps on going. But Jeremiah was treated well, and so was Daniel. Why? They were men of God. And God makes sure that his prophets are, as far as it seems as though, they were treated quite well, because God had promised, if you submit to Nebuchadnezzar to go into Babylon, then you're going to be treated right. And you won't suffer the consequence of what was going to come into the city, the pestilence and the sword, the famine, the ultimate death. And that's what God had promised. And this is something that you can't make up. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah while he had been confined in the court. "Go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, behold, I'm about to bring my words on this city of for disaster and not for prosperity, and they will take place before you on that day, but I will deliver you on that day, declares the Lord, and you will not be given into the hand of the men whom you dread. For I will certainly rescue you, and you will not fall by the sword, but you will have your life as booty. Because you have trusted me, declares the Lord." There you go. He trusted God. And that's what, and God gave him his life. What's more important than your life? I want to ask you that. What's more important than your life? You're going to have your life as booty. You're not going to have prosperity, but you're going to have your life. Now that is something else. Well, that's our time for today, folks. Be sure and stay tuned for tomorrow, and we'll go into the 40th chapter. Go to our website, krciradio.com, and shoot us an email. Let us know you're listening. And write to us. And let us know if you want to help us with the transmitter. Nobody takes a salary here. So all the money go, if you decide to work with us and in support, it all goes to equipment and purchasing different things we need. So write to us, KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, Brother Hansen saying, study to show yourself approved to God.